Well, the good news is that one day we'll all play one of those. And we won't have to take lessons. We'll learn them straight from our Lord Christ. Amen. Every time I hear Tom play, I think of that wonderful sound. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to the Psalms, I'm going to take a look at Psalm 42. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, A Thirsty Heart. A Thirsty Heart. Psalm 42. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Before we look into our text, let's ask God to help us. Lord, as we come to your text, your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. Let me be just a vessel, Lord, and may you speak to each and every heart here. Pray, Lord, that if there's one here who's not saved, again, we ask, Lord, it might please you to call them, but walk amongst us and open up ears, speak to every heart. And Lord, I pray that it be all of you. And I ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. A thirsty heart. I dare say that in all humanity, that's one thing that every heart is. It's thirsty. The heart itself is an organ that is thirsty. It constantly takes blood in and pumps it out. And of course, our psalmist David is talking metaphorically about his soul thirsting for God, but it's really more spiritual. And the problem that many people have when they look at Scripture is they tend to make it into something that, well, it worked for him but not for me, or it was good for him and not for me. And I tell you that Psalm 42 is for everybody listening to this message. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. In the original language, that word thirst gives the idea of looking for something, longing for it, or desiring it. Now, it doesn't say that it's written by David, but most of the commentators believe that it was, and I myself believe that it was, just by the wordage that's being used there. They all point to David, the heartfelt pleas. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And it was probably written when he was chased out of his home by his ungrateful son Absalom. It's interesting to note that of all the things that happened when Absalom drove David out of Jerusalem, of all the things that he lost, we don't hear him crying out for his crown as king. David was a great patriot of Israel. We don't hear him crying out for his country. We don't hear him crying out for his own kingdom. And he's not even lamenting over his treasures or his children. Like Job, he's lost much. And like Job, his heart is still focused on his Creator. He doesn't care that he's been banished from his own home. Doesn't bother him. And the reason is because ever since David was a child, he's dwelt in the secret place of the Most High. That's why he was able to deliver his father's sheep from the paw of the lion and the bear. God has always been David's refuge. But now, because of his sin with Bathsheba, Elohim has hid his face from him, and his soul panteth and thirsts after God. And then have you note, he says in this text, for the living God. There were many people in David's time, and I dare say in our time as well, that pant after God. But it's not the living God they're panting after. So David makes the distinction, the living God, not the idols or the god of men's imagination. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. These words, beloved, are an anguished cry from a thirsty heart, from somebody who's suffering thirst. And all of us here have, I suppose, at one time or another been thirsty. But I wonder how many of us here have ever had a dire thirst. How many of us here have had a thirst that was so great that we felt that we might not make it if we didn't get just a drop of water. Thirst is something that's common, but great thirst is not. And what David was suffering here was a great thirst. His God had hid his face from him, and he missed it. And he searched him out, and he cried to him. He says, I think in verse 3, my tears have been my meat night and day. He had been with God, Elohim, for so long that when his father hid his face from him, he felt a thirst, a terrible thirst. And it was a thirst that was for fellowship. It was a thirst to be with God. It was a thirst to share his life, to share his troubles, to share his anxieties, to share everything with his father. You see, a heart that thirsts like that can only be satisfied by God's presence and his grace. And I dare say today in the 21st century church, there are not many saints who thirst for God. It's unfortunate for them that they don't have a heart that has a thirst for God or a thirsty heart. We should also note that in Genesis chapter 2, let me give you a little history about thirsty hearts. In Genesis chapter 2, when Jehovah Jesus created Adam and Eve, he not only gave them a body, a soul, and a spirit, he put within them a thirsty heart for God. That was part of the package. And we know that's true because Scripture tells us our Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. You see, they spent time together. They fellowshiped together. But when we get to Genesis 3:6, it's here that man decides he wants to cut God out of his heart and replace him with himself. Moses testifies to that. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Obviously, the first shortcoming was thinking that God could ever be replaced by a creature. The devil made the same mistake, even as an angel. God can never be replaced. But man thought he could. And secondly, our first parents didn't consider what would happen to their thirst for God when they rebelled against him. They didn't understand that just taking him out of his heart was more than just putting yourself in its place. They didn't realize when they cut themselves off from their Creator that their spiritual thirst would remain. They didn't anticipate the deep hole that would be left in their soul when they took God out of their heart. And they never imagined that the spiritual hole has an insatiable thirst. So although they did separate themselves from God physically and spiritually, there still remained a spiritual thirst that needed to be satisfied. And from the fall in the garden until this very day, every soul that comes into this world, every single soul starts with a thirsty heart and a heart that demands to be quenched. In Romans chapter 7, Paul tells us when we're old enough to know what sin is, the very first thing we do is we sin against God. We break His commandments. And the act of sin rips open that spiritual hole and energizes that thirsty heart that we've inherited from Adam and Eve. The very moment a young person who is aware of themselves and knows good from evil and decides to sin against God, the moment that happens, that hole that was there is ripped open and the heart begins to thirst. That, beloved, is why the unsaved are never satisfied. A thirsty heart is always searching for something to slake its thirst and to fill the spiritual hole where God is supposed to live. There's a hole in every lost person's life, and they go through their whole life searching for something to put in it. And they try everything, and nothing fits. Nothing works for very long anyway. That's why Scripture tells us in Isaiah 48, 22, and mark this down, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So if you know people that have no peace, ask them if they know Christ. And don't be surprised by their answer. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. That means that those who have a hole in their heart, a thirst in their heart and a hole in their soul where Christ used to be, that means they have no idea what real joy is. They only know what happiness is, things that they can manufacture. They have no eternal hope. They fear death more than anything else because they know that death soon leads to punishment. They have no comfort. The lost cannot go to a sovereign God and ask for comfort and expect to receive it because they have no faith. There are no divine blessings. None. Just an empty hole and a thirsty heart that demands to be fed. For those who reject Christ, there is nothing but an aching need to fill that spiritual hole and bring relief to their thirsty heart. They live for that. And those outside of Christ have tried to stuff everything imaginable into that hole. And they've done everything they could to try to quench their thirst. They can't. Paul tells us about that in Romans 1, 21 through 23. He gives us a list of things man has tried to use to quench his thirst. He writes, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creepy things. All they were trying to do, all mankind has always tried to do, is fill in that hole with anything except God. Even in this, in the 21st century, those who reject Christ are still trying to satisfy their thirsty heart with everything except our Lord. For example, you can drink in the world and the things that are in the world, but you can't quench a thirsty heart. I have a proof verse for that. It comes every day. We see it in the paper. We see it in the internet. How do we know that's true? Elvis tried it. Didn't work for the king, but a little K. Whitney Houston tried it. Didn't work for her. And of late, and recently, the Philip Seymour Hoffman tried it, and it didn't work. I mention these three not because they're any different than anybody else. I mention it because they had the resources, they had anything in this world they wanted, and they couldn't fill the hole or quench the thirst. I dare say that countless millions of people try to quench their thirsty heart every day with power. People long for power. They eat it. But it doesn't work. How do we know that's true? Because they always want more. Possessions. People love to fill that hole with possessions. They love to feed that thirst with possessions. Shopping, cars, vacations, anything to possess. And fill that hole. Doesn't work. There's never enough. They need more. And pleasures, both physical and mental, that even they are not completely satisfying. There's never enough. You see, when you try to fill the hole that's in every heart where God resided in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, when you try to fill that with temporal things, temporary things, it never works. You still have that hole and you have a terrible thirst to fill it. False religions. There's another way man has tried to fill the hole in their heart and their thirst for God. Many churches today preach a gospel of humanism. That isn't going to work either. It doesn't work because it's a religion that worships man and his good deeds. Turn on your TV and internet tonight, or pick up a paper, and you'll see that humanism can't satisfy a thirsty heart for God because everything in there is bad. There's nothing spiritually good about man, the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not referring to moral people. There are many good moral people, but they're all spiritually dead. So there's no water for a thirsty heart here. How about the gospel of liberalism? That's the gospel that seems to be prevalent in the church today. That provides no relief for a thirsty heart because the God they worship is a God of their imagination. He's not real. Their God is who you want him to be. To the spiritually dead liberal mind, Holy Scripture is just a reference book that you can interpret any way you desire. Make it fit your style. Make it fit your life. And according to their doctrine, sin is not any big deal to worry about. Don't worry about it. It's okay. So you'll find no water here to quench a thirsty heart. And beloved, I weep when I think that there are over a billion people in the church at Rome who think their holy water will quench their thirsty heart. But it won't. It won't because they're necromancers. They pray to the dead. It won't because they worship idols and they worship the traditions of men. It won't because, like Pharisees, their worship is based on a religiosity rather than a personal relationship with the sovereign God. So once again, you'll find no water in false religions, none whatsoever. You'll find nothing to fill that hole or to quench that thirsty heart. I dare say you could search the universe and you will find absolutely nothing, nothing that will fill the spiritual hole in a life or satisfy a spiritual thirst. Nothing. There's nothing there. The only way you can do it, the only way that you can fill that hole and quench that thirst is you have to come to the fountain of life. Jesus promises us in Revelation 21:6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. After I got saved for a while, I often wondered why churches weren't filled. I didn't get it. I thought to myself, well, look, it doesn't cost you anything to worship Christ. It doesn't cost you anything for your faith. It doesn't cost you anything except a little gas to get to church and to worship God, and do it from your heart. And in return for that, he'll give you a book, he'll give you the key to understanding that book, and you can apply it to your life, and you can help other people in their life. So why isn't everybody here? Why? Because the spiritual truth is, that the world is at an enmity with God, the Bible says in Romans 8, 7. That is, that there's a hatred for God. The people sitting here, everyone here loves God. You wouldn't be here. You took the time to get up. You took the time to come to Bible study. You took the time to come to a worship service and to have some fellowship with your brothers and sisters because you love God, because God has given you the faith to do it. Most of all, because you don't have a hole in your soul and you don't have a thirsty heart that needs to be quenched. You've all come to the fountain, but before you came to the fountain, you went to the cross. And you see, beloved, that's where it all starts. You can't fill your life with anything in this world that's temporal. You need to understand that. Anything that can be manufactured will not fit that hole. It's a divine hole. And I dare say it, for some, it's a black hole. And it's a hole that will draw a soul down to the deepest pits of hell and the lake of fire if they don't come to the fountain of life and get a drink. That's the state of the world. The Bible has a reason for saying many are called, but few are chosen. There's a reason why God lays out two paths for mankind, a wide one which leads to the lake of fire, and a narrow one that leads to the gates of heaven. There's a reason. You can't fill your life with anything that is satisfying without God. You can't. It is impossible to do. I don't care if you have $1 billion, you cannot make yourself happy. You can make yourself happy for a while. You might even make yourself happy for 30 or 40 years. But after that, when you transition from this life to the next and it's for certain you're going to do it, it's for certain you're going to do it. You're not going to be happy any longer. You're not going to like the seating arrangements. Because all that you have to do is fill your life with the right things. And that thirst for God will remain, but it's under control. That's the difference between a Christian, a believing Christian, and a non-Christian. Yes, we thirst after our God just like David did. But we thirst in a much different way. We don't have that empty spot we're trying to fill. And you know it's true, brothers and sisters, and let me tell you why. Because everybody in the world is looking for something. Have you ever noticed that? They're always looking for something. Something to do. Something to have. They're not resting. They can't rest. There is no peace for the wicked. Their heart is in constant turmoil, trying to fill that hole and satisfy that thirst. And it can't be found here. It's found only at the cross of Jesus Christ. And for those who are listening that perhaps think that they have Christ, let me tell you something. It has to be Christ and Christ alone, and it has to be a personal relationship that you have with Him and nothing else. Period. I will never stand with you, with anybody in this congregation when you stand before God. I'm not allowed to do that. You will stand there on your own merits. And you will either stand there with the blood of Christ, or you will stand there and pay your sin debt yourself. Either way, you will be alone. So for those listening that may be into a birthright religion, oh, I've been here for 500 years and, you know, I hate to leave, I have friends. Let me tell you something, no one will be with you when you stand before God. Nobody. And you need to understand that you need to find yourself a church, a Bible-believing church that just wants to worship God the way He wants. You need to go to that fountain and drink freely. Otherwise, you're going to thirst all of this life. You're going to thirst. You're going to have a terrible thirst. You're going to have a hole you're trying to fill constantly, and you're never going to be able to do it. And then in Luke 16, the rich man, looking up out of hell, said to Abraham, Send your servant Lazarus down to put a drop of water on my tongue. You see, he's thirsting. And 2,000 years since that was written, that man in hell is still thirsting. And he thirsted while he was on this planet as well. How sad is that? So when after I got saved and I understood a little bit about what God gives us, I said, why aren't the churches filled? And then it dawned on me. Man has always tried to replace God with something. In Genesis, he tried to replace him by eating from that tree. And ever since then, man has tried to replace God and take over from God and steal his glory. And beloved, I tell you this, as sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow, I tell you this, nobody can do that. Nobody. You need to come to the fountain. You need to drink deeply. And you need to satisfy that thirst. That's the only way you're going to do it. There's no other way. In Isaiah 58:11, listen to what the prophet promises God's people. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and ready, and satisfy thy soul in drought. And make that fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That's the lot of those who have put God back where he belongs, who's filled that hole in their life. The only thing that will satisfy a thirsty heart is God Almighty. And I have a proof verse for that. Jesus gives it to us in John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, the water that you're drinking, if it's coming from Christ, it's forever. It never stops. It's within you. But if you're not drinking from that fountain, you're thirsting for other things, you'll never find it. And you'll never be satisfied. I dare say our text should be the motto of every saint. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Thirsting after God should be a daily desire of every single believer. In the morning when you get up, I've said it before, put your feet down on the floor. You're going to make a decision. The decision you're going to make is how much am I going to give to God and how much am I going to keep for myself. That determines your thirst level for the day. It may also determine your grace that he gives you. Trusting in God should be a daily desire. If you have a thirst for God, you won't have a taste for the world. If you have a thirst for God, you won't drink from broken cisterns. And if you have a thirst for God, you won't be satisfied with anything except the clear water that flows under the throne of God. That's the only water you'll want to drink. You won't want to go to a broken cistern. You won't want to hear false doctrines. You'll only want the truth. It's so very important that people understand that these are not just words. This book is not just a book made of paper and ink. It's the living word of God. And everything that's in here is real. Absolutely real. And if he tells you that you can only find salvation in him and him alone, then you can only find salvation in him and him alone. It's the blood. It's all about the blood. The blood leads to the fountain. Without the blood, you have nothing. You're drinking from broken cisterns. If you're listening to this, and thus far you've rejected Christ, I got a few questions I want to ask you. What are you using to fill your spiritual hole with in your life? What are you using? The world? The glitter? Yourself? Or many people just ignore the problem. They say, well, I'm not ready to die yet. I'm young and nothing's going to happen. Or I'm old and you know what, I still got another day to think about it. Or maybe just before I die, I'll ask Jesus into my life. That ain't going to work. God doesn't want to hear that because you're not sincere. What are you filling your life with? You know it's not going away. You know that because you know that you're going to die and one day we'll all be judged. Everybody knows that. And you know that's true because you wouldn't feel there's something missing in your life. And every human being feels that because we come into this world missing the most vital thing, our connection to God. And we're all aware of it. And how do we know that's true? Because in recorded history, there has never been a culture that did not believe in an afterlife. That's a remnant from the garden. So I guess if you're missing something in your life, the question is, what are you going to do about it? If you're listening to this and you're still searching, you still have a thirsty heart, you still feel that there's something missing in your life, what are you going to do about it? If you do nothing, you ignore it. You ignore it at your own peril. If you decide you want to do something about it, but you don't know what to do, you see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's Word how you can drink from the fountain of life after you've been to the cross of Christ. For my brothers and sisters, I have a couple of questions I'd like you to leave here with today. What I'd like you to think about is, what are you thirsty for? Now I know you've drank from the fountain of life. I know that God is in your heart because I'm calling you brothers and sisters. I know all of that. But you still have a thirst. We all thirst. My question to you is, what are you thirsting for? Are you thirsting for the world? A social life? Glitter of the world? Or maybe the little kingdom of I? By that I mean, how much of God are you thirsting for in comparison to the things of the world? The busyness of your life? The way you've arranged your life? What are you thirsting for? And I dare say right now, everyone listening to my message knows the answer to that question. We all know it. I remember many times sitting in a pew and a pastor would preach something like that. And before he even finished it, I did an internal diagnostic spiritually. And I knew what was lacking. And I personally decided to correct it. What will you do? Ignore it or correct it? When you put your feet out in the morning, how much are you going to give to God tomorrow morning? You think about that. How much is going to God and how much is going to you? If you don't like the numbers, switch them around. You have the ability because you are a new creature in Christ, and as a new creature in Christ, you can do it. After all, I think about all that God has given you. I think about all the things He's given you. I think about His Son and all that that represents. I think about His Word. I think about His kingdom. I think about the 30 blessings that come instantly to you the moment you're saved. Adoption, joint heirs with Christ, eternal security. I think of them all. He's given you things beyond your comprehension. And if you're not panting after God or you're not thirsting after Him, once you realize what He's done for you, I tell you, brother or sister, something's wrong. Something needs to be checked. If you're a new creature in Christ, your desire for God, if it's lukewarm or not there, then you need to find out why. If you've claimed Him, you need to find out why your spiritual desire and your spiritual thirst for God is not what it should be. And you'll find the answer to that in 1 John. All you have to do, not the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John, 1 John, 5 chapters, read them 5 times. I guarantee on the 6th read, you'll get the answer you're looking for. May not be what you want, but you'll get the answer. Because that book will tell you just how much of God you have hold of. and how much of you you have hold of. That book will answer those questions for you. If you need help, call me. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, if you're thirsty for the living God, then go home. And go home rejoicing. Rejoice that you're drinking from the fountain of life. Rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's book of life. And rejoice because a spiritual hole in your life has been filled by the only one who can satisfy, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now peace and rest are yours. Joy and eternal life are yours. And most of all, Elohim is yours and you are His. Let's pray. Father, we pray you would forgive us our sins. And Lord, one of the sins that we have is every single day, it seems, Lord, some way, somehow, we end up breaking that first commandment. We don't thirst after you, Lord, the way we should. None of us do. We pray, Father, that you would help us with that. We're indwelt by your Spirit, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to rouse yourself within us. And Lord, when we start each day, remind us who we belong to. Help us, Father, to be better servants. Help us, Lord, to thirst after you. Yes, you've satisfied us, Lord. The hole has been filled by our Lord Christ and the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, just help us to thirst for the living God, and there is none other. We ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.